Hi, everybody. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi. Welcome to Photography and Business Insight, what it takes to be successful.
I'm David Fox. I'm a professional photographer. Work all over New England. And my counterpart here is...
Alyssa Conlane, digital marketing manager and podcast editor. This podcast interview has a lot of great information in it. There's so much that we decided to release it in two parts. This is part one of our interview with Lauren Owens Lambert.
Today's guest is our talented photographer, Lauren Owens Lambert.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And I met Lauren at an ASMP meeting. I was looking around to meet some new photographers and trying to build our photography stable of talented people.
We were listening to Henry Hornstein that day.
That's right.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know Henry Hornstein, Henry has been around for many, many years. Very accomplished art photographer and teacher. They teach around School of Design.
Yep.
We're hoping, keeping our fingers crossed, that we will be able to reach out to him and...
Yeah, get him on the show.
Get him on the show. So no promises, we're working on it.
Yeah.
So today's guest is Lauren. She's an up-and-coming photographer here in the Boston area. Actually, now Boston and Washington. You were in Washington yesterday?
Yeah, I went down to Washington for the Consortium Ocean Leadership Forum. It was a policy forum about ocean conservation, aquaculture development, and feeding 10 billion people. So it's population growth at the same time of overfishing our seas and trying to combat that with different technologies and research to continue to feed people and rely on the oceans and not destroy it as much as we are. But it's also like tied into, obviously, climate change, because the oceans is the fuel of climate change. And since I think even the 1960s, the oceans have been absorbing drastic amounts of heat, which is due to all of this wonderful weather we've been having, such as the high winds today and a lot of the severe storms and stuff like that. So the ocean really controls the global atmosphere and just weather in general.
Yes, it does.
That's what the policy forum was all about. And with the new presidency and everything, all the budget cuts that are now going to be in the science community that they're going to have to deal with. It was really fun. I was down there to research a story and hopefully partner with the group and visually communicate their efforts.
Awesome.
It was a great time. Yeah.
Great experience.
Yeah.
I started out with Lauren just getting to know her, and she was just kind of getting started. What was it, a couple years ago? And yeah, someday I'll say I knew her when. Well, let's talk about who you are and how long you've been involved in photography.
Well, I get asked that question a lot, and I'm still struggling on how to answer it because I feel like there's three different ways. There's like when I was first introduced to the camera, which is when I was actually quite young, it was middle school. My mother loved photography. She thought it was a very romantic form of art and career. So she was always into photography, and she taught me to use the 1970s Minolta camera. And that was like my first introduction to the technical side, like actual learning the camera. And then by the time I got into high school, I was really lucky to have a school that had a darkroom and had the phenomenal photography teacher who was really good at teaching us more of the technical aspects of film development, you know, the camera. So it was all film-based. That's when I was like introduced to it. But then later, I think when you actually get paid for your first photography job, that's a whole other feat where it's like, okay, I started photography years ago, but as a real photographer, that was not very long ago. I think I got my first paid job with the Bellingham Herald and the Nature Conservancy out in Washington State in like 2012. And that's when I consider myself a photographer, you know, when you get your first couple paychecks. But I was also going to school and I also had part-time jobs and I wasn't doing it full time. Then later, when I moved back here to the Boston area in 2013, I went full freelance. Because when I moved back here, I was doing bartending, waitressing to pay rent, you know, and had piecemeal little photography jobs here and there and started to make a name and go to meetings and groups to meet people and network. And eventually, after about a year of doing everything and just working really hard and being very tired, I finally had enough clients to drop my bartending jobs and my waitressing gigs. So then I was full freelance from that point on, which was only 2 years ago. I could consider myself a real flung photographer.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. Yeah, it was very exciting. I absolutely love it. It's exhausting and it's financially scary, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I really enjoy it. Yeah.
It isn't always like that when you work for yourself and you're trying to juggle a lot of things and at the same time at the end of the week, did we make payroll?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can I pay my bills? And if the answer is yes, then good.
Right.
So I don't quite know how to, when people say like, when did you start or how long? It's like, well, on one hand, I've been doing it since like middle school. On the other hand, professionally, I've only been doing it for 2 years. So
that's okay. Well, you know, it's interesting. We wanted to strike a contrast between, we've had people on that are more experienced.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Alan Kandowski, who was a commercial photographer mm-hmm. for a number of years, now retired. So he's the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So it's great to have your perspective from somebody starting out.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to bring in someone who is just really in the beginning stages of their mm-hmm. career and look at it from many different aspects. Mm-hmm. Since this is a photography and business insight podcast, we're looking to also bring in people who can talk about the business side of it, as well as maybe are on the fringes of photography in some way, whether it's internships or whether it's other kinds of things.
Yeah, well, because everybody has their own path.
Exactly.
So it's,
right.
it's nice to kind of listen to everybody's experiences, whether you're on the retirement end or as a hobby photographer or like me, just starting out.
Or how do you make that transition from wanting to do this full-time mm-hmm. when you're struggling as mm-hmm. a part-time hobbyist or someone who's kind of on that edge, and should I make the jump or shouldn't I make the jump, and what's the risks associated with making that leap, you know, not having that guaranteed paycheck at the end of the week or mm-hmm. guaranteed insurance payment that, you know, someone else pays for you or all those other things, and now you have to do that and pay your taxes and all the other things that are involved in, oh, did I say I was a photographer?
Yeah, it's very much being in a jungle with a machete.
Sometimes it feels like that.
That's kind of it. You just have to carve your own path.
I like that analogy. So what has been and continues to be your inspiration and why? Again, photographers, business people, etc.
For me, like, I always loved just like the art of photography, just in general. You know, like being behind the lens feels good. It's a way to feel distant and connected all at the same time, which I think is a unique experience only to the camera, which I really enjoy. But that said, my photography mission really is for science, photography, and environmental efforts. I've always been a huge nature nerd, and I just love science, and I love the environment, I love nature. And I always thought the human relationship with the planet was a very dynamic one. So that's sort of what I really enjoy telling, are these stories that how we live amongst nature and in the planet. And like with all the environmental issues that we've had and climate change that, you know, we're feeling the effects of, and it's just going to be getting more and more a hot topic as we age and get older. You know, if I ever have kids, they're going to face these same issues that are probably going to be magnified. And I'm really curious about solution-based photography. Like, what is the research? What are the scientists doing? What are the restoration projects out there in order to have a more symbiotic relationship with nature versus a dominating one? But it's also like finding that balance of conservation is great, but setting aside like swaths of land isn't the only way to protect nature. You know, it's not humans versus nature, or we're not separate from one another. We are tied to each other. And I think having a healthy growing economy as well as having a healthy growing environment is the goal. And we aren't there, you know, but people are working towards it. So I really like finding those stories and finding those people who in my eyes are heroes, you know, like working towards a better way of living for all of us. So that's sort of why I like what I do. And on top of that, I just enjoy photography as an art form. So whether I'm photographing a corporate event or a friend's wedding or anything, I just really love like being behind the camera and capturing those really special moments between people. So on one side, I'm very mission oriented. And then on the other side, I just really enjoy being a photographer. So.
And that's a good thing, because yeah. you're very, a talented photographer.
Thank you.
It's been fun to watch you grow.
Thank you. Yeah, every day, every year, I'm learning something new and growing. It's awesome.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And it should never stop.
Yeah, lifelong learning.
Right, right. Yeah. And the great thing about photography is there's so many different things to know, and mm-hmm. like even the subjects that you dive into, it's like a never-ending mm-hmm. learning adventure.
You're right, and it is being a dynamic learner all the time. Like, I'm not just a photographer, I also do video work. You know, I also do audio work. I produce these multimedia stories, which I know, David, you do as well, like with video. And so it's like, you know, being a photographer these days isn't enough. You can't just be a photographer.
I know.
And so, you know, you also do the video component, the audio component, the editing of the mm-hmm. video components, you know, the designing of your own website. Like, and on top of that, running your own business, you have to wear all those other hats, but we can talk about that later. But that's just like an interesting thing about And it also kind of talks about like when to make that jump if you have a real job and you're getting that paycheck, and but you're maybe thinking about going full freelance in the arts. It's important to know you have to be very flexible and open is what I'm finding out. You have to be kind of a jack of all trades, mm-hmm. which is fun. I love it.
I think you have to learn to wear both hats. You have to have those different sets of skills mm-hmm. and understand not only the technical aspects, but of how your camera works, but also the aesthetics and mm-hmm. make sure it looks really good and it's lit mm-hmm. well and it sounds good and all those things. Being a photographer today is not enough.
Mm-hmm. And people pay less and they want more, which is the same with any industry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, again, at the policy conference in Washington the other day, they said the same thing. They're like, who here is expected to do more research, get more results for less money? And it was everybody. I mean, and it's the same with a lot of people right now where you're expected to do more, have better quality work, but do it on a lesser budget, which is the challenge. And competition, of course, for the jobs themselves are always very high. So being good at what you do and doing more than just one thing is key.
So what makes you unique and how do you separate yourself from other photographers?
I would like to think that my eye separates me. Like, I mean, I would kind of like to think that my photographs look unique to other people's. But that said, I think the biggest thing that sets me apart, at least in my specific field that I'm trying to focus on, is the human aspect of my storytelling. Again, I think in conservation photography, it's a lot of these big, gorgeous megafauna, you know, like tigers and forests and gorgeous high dynamic range landscape imagery, which is beautiful, but I don't think does a good job at like the mission, which is people are a part of nature and we need to work with it and be successful within our planet as well. So I think my like conservation stories, I really like photographing the people involved, the farmers, the aquaculturalists, the scientists, you know, the community that's involved, that's feeling the effects of whatever climate change that they're feeling, whether it's drought or flood. Photographing the people, I think, is a really big, important part of the work that I do, and not just photographing the issues on top of that. So not photographing the oil slicks and the explosions and the war and the famine, and also not just photographing big, gorgeous megafauna in beautiful landscapes. You know, it's finding that middle of the road, that intersection where people and science and nature come together. That's what separates my photography or my storytelling from others within that field. And I think maybe that's all I can really speak on right now with my experience, because I'm still learning so much with other forms of photography, such as corporate work and events. I feel, I don't know what sets me apart there yet. I think I'm still just like learning how to be the best kind of photographer there, you know, get the awards, get the shaking of the hands, get people talking and interacting and having a good time, photographing the environment. It's all the same moments and the same stuff, but in a totally different environment. So I feel like my focus in the conservation world is the only thing I can speak to at the moment.
It's okay. That's where your experience lies.
Yeah.
And in some ways, as you stated earlier, you know, having a machete and kind of cutting your way through, it's really interesting. Sometimes the corporate world is like that too, because you've got a plan and a guidance and they kind of want certain things, but you don't always know exactly where you're going and you have to remain pliable and flexible. And okay, and we're going to go here. Oh, okay, well, just give me a minute to get over there. It's like, okay, I've sloshed my way over there. So it's the same kind of thing, although it's hard to compare the corporate for-profit world with the environmental world.
Mm-hmm. But I think, though, like, storytelling is just important no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Like, again, whether you're at a conference or a wedding or a bar mitzvah or the rainforest, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you are, but there's always a story there. And I think in order to communicate through images, that story is always important. It's not just picture after picture. It's always zooming out, being like, well, what's the story here? Why are we here? What are we doing? And how to communicate that in a creative way,
mm-hmm.
which most clients don't want creative shots, but it's nice to give them those.
You mean art?
Yeah, you mean art, exactly. Like more like the editorial side of things. I find that like sometimes every now and then you work for a newspaper or a client who enjoys that style.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly they just want the generic shots
sometimes.
Yeah, just sort of documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also important to give them that. It's always like, what does the client want? So you check it off, you kind of give them what they
mm-hmm.
want so they're happy, because
yep.
that's always number one. But then it's really fun to like, once you know you have all the shots you need, even with the newspaper world, because it's harder to be more editorial because it's just smaller print, it's harsher on the paper, so the resolution isn't that good. So the photographs have to have that weird balance of art and interest, but also kind of just straightforward and easy to understand at like a glance on a newspaper. It's fun to give them both. It's fun to like do the checkpoint, get what you need, make the client happy, and then get creative and also give them that. Be like, hey, like here's the shots that I really enjoy, you know?
And in the end, guess what they end up using? your creative stuff a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, gee, I thought our ideas were...
Yeah.
I like these better.
Yeah, so yeah. That's always kind of fun.
It is fun. And it's just fun. It's rewarding.
Yeah.
Because you've mm-hmm. given them what they've expected, but then, as I always say, you exceed the expectations. You give them something else that they weren't expecting.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wow, this is really nice. I didn't know you could do that. Or I didn't see that. Or, wow, that's really... Thank you.
Yeah, this is even better than I thought. I'm like, oh, yes.
So how do you find most of your clients and how do you service them?
Honestly, it's a lot of word of mouth. And that's why I think going to meetings and networking is really important. Without meeting somebody face-to-face first, they won't find your website. It's a lot of first you have to meet them or you get recommended by another person you've worked for, another client, or another photographer. If they can't do the job, they'll recommend you, you know, and you might be available, which is always great. So I do find the photography community kind of always helping each other out. And I know I've done that when somebody's like, hey, can you do this? And I'm busy or out of town or whatever, and I say no, but here's a couple people that are really good that you should contact, and then they get the work, and vice versa. Then if they can't do it, it's kind of scratching each other's backs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say most of it's word of mouth. And in order to get to that word of mouth stage, you just have to be out all the time meeting people, mm-hmm. being the face of your business and your work, and constantly meeting people.
All the time.
All the time. And the second you stop, you shouldn't.
The phone stops ringing, yeah, you stop getting emails, those things. Where did they go? I'm here. I'm
here,
working.
Yeah, here. And stay in there. Yeah, I think that's important, which is something I was trying to do because there's always ebbs and flows of the business. Mm-hmm. So I've been learning that January, February for me, the start of the first quarter is always the hardest. Mm-hmm. But it's after the holidays. We just had a big political transition. There's not a whole lot community-wise happening in January. And like, you know, it's the end of the fiscal year, the start of the new one. So even the nonprofits and all these organizations, they're not really doing much. They're planning for future projects, but they're not actively doing it. So that was a time where, during the slow times, get out there and go to these events, meet people, and keep those relationships fresh. That is important.
Well, I always say I could take the month of January or February off and no one would miss me.
So, yeah, pretty much.
So good time to take a vacation. So how important is your image, branding, marketing, and what do you do to maintain it?
I would like to think that it's very important, but I probably am not the best at it. I do have a website. I'm proud of my website, but it definitely needs to be updated, and I do think the organization of it kind of needs to be changed around. But again, I do all of this myself, so if I don't do it, nobody will, and that's hard to schedule because you are just so busy about survival, making clients, doing your work, and then just the day-to-day living, like groceries and laundry. Like, you kind of have to do all that on top of running your own business. So during January, February, I do try to update my website because it is the slow time of year for me. But I need to be doing that more because there's projects that I'm really proud of that aren't on my website right now. And there's projects that are too old that need to be taken down. So I feel like just overall updating and making sure that the flow is moving with my development as a photographer is very important because right now it might not fully reflect who I am and where I want to go, because it just needs to be updated. So I think that's very important, and it is something that I try to do as much as I can, because I don't go on my website every day and all of a sudden you forget about it and you're just so worried about like getting your next job and doing your personal stories and just doing the stuff to make money and to kind of move forward that you can forget about it. I've been dabbling with it, you know, over the past couple months, but it needs to be farther along. That's really all I do though. I have business cards that I get through Moo, which is awesome. And I love my business cards, and every time I hand them out, people are like, oh my God, they're so cool. And there's a different picture on each one. So I can like fan them out, be like, which one do you want? You know? And so they're really fun, but that's really all I do in terms of marketing is I have my business cards, I have my website. When I have a new client or if I'm pitching a story that's like a personal story, I can create a page on my website so I can just give a link to editors instead of like a PDF. I mean, they're busy, so they don't want to just like download and open up and look at. They just want to click a link and go somewhere. Mm. So that's like a good way to get work out quickly and have it be on some eyes. But that's really all I do in terms of like marketing and imagery is just my business cards and website.
Good. That's a good place to be.
What do you do? Do you do anything more?
I'm lucky. I have Alyssa.
Yeah.
Well, Alyssa maintains our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. She maintains our Instagram page.
Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, the podcast.
And updating the website on a regular basis.
Updating the website, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I forgot all about social media. I do that. I just do Facebook and LinkedIn. But every time I do something professionally related, I throw it up on Facebook and then I put it up on LinkedIn. And everybody says I should do Twitter and Instagram. It's for me personally, it's too much social media stuff. So like, I haven't gone there yet. And maybe when I'm older and I listen to this, I'll be like, you're such an idiot. Like, you're a photographer. Why didn't you do the photography one? You know,
Twitter, like, probably not as necessary, but Instagram would be a good one.
Yeah, like, why aren't I doing Instagram?
Right.
And I don't know why. Probably because, like, I hate it. I don't want to do it. It's just too much, you know? Maybe I should. So, yeah, who knows? I might kick myself later, but at the moment, I don't do it.
You know, there's only so many hours in the day, and, by the way, you have to sleep every once in a while.
Right.
Yeah. I'll work till, like, 3 a.m, get up at 7, and start all over again.
Yep. So. Yeah. Which I thought would change after my bartending, but it doesn't. It's just more photography work, which is great, but...
Well, eventually, when you learn to clone yourself.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
And then having Alyssa on board, I mean, she does all the social media, because honestly, I'd probably be similar to you, where, you know, I get to it every once in a while. It's important. I understand that. I know that being high up in the search rankings and all that other stuff on Google, it all helps. But again, there's only so many hours in the day, and I've been out of the office. Like, you were out all day long yesterday. I was out.
And the day before.
And the day before, yeah. So it's like, I can't be in three places and doing everything. You just can't be.
Yeah. So. And it's just like mentally, just it gets so cluttered in there. You know, you're multitasking all the time, all these different aspects of your life and your job.
Oh, and you have a husband too.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wants to see you every once in a while.
Every now and then. It'd be wonderful to have dinner with him.
Well, you gotta do those things too.
Maybe tonight.
There you go. And then you'll both crash on the couch and watch TV and fall asleep.
Yep, pretty much.
So, do you belong to any professional organizations? Have you benefited from it? Do you suggest other photographers or people in your industry become involved, and why?
Yes, I definitely am involved with different groups and organizations, and not just photography groups, but for me, let's say I'm really into the science and nature community and conservation community, so I'm also on their mailing lists, and I'm really into that world as well. So parts of different like environmental groups, just to learn what their projects are, what they're doing. But with the photography, like, I'm definitely involved in local and national levels of photography communities, just because, again, they have workshops that would be really nice to go to. I can't go to as many as I would like to, because sometimes they require travel and that requires money, and that can always be very difficult and time. But some of the local stuff, they can do lighting workshops and, you know, networking events, even just like these small get-togethers where they're just like, it's beer Wednesday, like, let's just go get a beer at this bar and connect, which I think is really important actually for the community of photography, because I feel like photography is a very social thing. You're physically out there every day, you're physically taking pictures, you're talking to people. And I think in the world of film, it used to be more interactive because you had the darkroom, you had these studios you could go to. And I think that's where people could kind of meet and collaborate and talk about their work. And
No, it actually wasn't much better.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, in some ways, it might have been. In some ways, it was actually, I think, more siloed.
Because,
really? Well, you know, you'd go out, you'd make your pictures, and then you'd have to come back and process the film or have the lab process the film. So you always run into the lab every day or every other day.
But then you had a relationship with the people at the lab.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you did
have
that.
Or like you would run into other photographers in the darkroom doing their...
In my case, I had my own darkroom. My own black and white darkroom. So, you know, you get in it and you spend hours and hours and hours all by yourself. You didn't really have a cell phone in those days. And there was no internet, so there was no connectivity. You'd basically go in and you'd be siloed for 10, 12 hours or whatever the case may be, and walk out with a handful of prints.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking like a community darkroom.
I never really did a community thing.
Right.
But even in a community darkroom, I mean, you're doing your thing, but at least if you had, I don't know how to do this, or could you help me with that?
Yeah.
There's always somebody there that always maybe knew something that you didn't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now we just sit in front of a computer and always
stare exactly.
At the thing,
yeah, so. And that's what I was curious about too, is I feel like photography can be very isolating in this weird way, where on one hand you have to be very outgoing and very social more or less, and when you're actually doing your work and producing these photos, but then you spend most of your time behind the screen, whether it's editing video or editing your photos or updating your website or doing social media and writing emails to clients, and like so much of being a photographer in today's world is in front of the computer, behind the computer, whatever, but like, which is really difficult well and can be very lonely. And again, especially for somebody who's just starting out, you're still making those connections, so you don't have a community yet. You're still looking for that space and like looking for those connections. So mm-hmm. I found that joining those photography groups or even groups of something that you're interested in, again, like for me, science and environmental research and photography really helped me try to build a community. And it's not saying that it doesn't get lonely, because it totally does, but it helps a lot, you know. And when you do get to go and talk to other people in your industry, sometimes they're not going to necessarily get you work, but they are going to be a friend and they are going to be somebody who you can relate to and talk to. And again, if they get work and can't do it, or if you get work and can't do it, you can refer each other to like future clients potentially. But it's much more for like filling that social hole, you know.
Well, it's interesting, even this podcast, before you would talk to people, or you and I work together and, you know, a few other people mm-hmm. do the same. But most photographers just work in a silo. They work for themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a quote team, mm-hmm. at least that I've observed. So I think part of this podcast idea is to, if I'm not out teaching, this is a way to be part of a community, even mm-hmm. though it's a virtual community. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And that also incorporates, we were talking about skill sets, you know, video and photography and audio and multimedia and all those things. This is another extension of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I listen to podcasts all the time. And it's amazing how much you can learn. Mm-hmm. And you find your favorite little podcasts and people that you like to listen to. And some are much more interesting than others. And we hope that this podcast is interesting and informative. And people are really, yeah, I got to listen to the new one when it comes out.
So. I hope so, too. Yeah.
This concludes part one of our podcast interview with Lauren Owens Lambert. Part two is now available on our blog as well as in iTunes. Thanks for listening and happy shooting.